101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. It's Friday, Milwaukee. What's the word?
What's the word?
What up, Meech?
What's happening?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Today we get to stay in the Third Street Market Hall and eat.
Yeah. If we want to, but I said we was gonna just go out.
Okay. We just gonna go out.
We're
then.
Going out to 92K with the
oh,
team.
Oh, yeah, we is going out. Where we going?
92K with the team.
See? That's what I'm talking about. Anything 90s, 2000, early 2000s, count me in.
Oh, okay.
Count me in. Happy Friday, Milwaukee. Thank you so much for joining Jazzy and Meech. It's the Tapped In Show, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Be sure to make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media at Tapped In. Tap in MKE as well as 101.7 The Truth. We got some special guests coming in today. We have a Milwaukee-born NFL player, Eric Murray, who currently plays as a safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we also have the lovely Miss Ashelle White. Mm-hmm. She's with the Recording Academy. Brilliant when it comes to the music industry. Super excited about having her on the show. And super excited about having Eric Murray on the show as well.
Yeah. Shell, one of my colleagues, I suggest.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's Friday. We got some things to address because I was gone yesterday. Shout out to Swift Sloan's, my cousin Swift, shooting All About the Check 3. We had him on here last week. And he actually allowed me to be a part of the movie. I got a small role as nurse, you know, as the nurse bae. But them three lines going to turn into 30 lines. Just give me a minute. But while I was absent, you know, I was getting phone calls that Meech was up here just talking. Oh, he going to get. Okay, so let's talk about it, Meech. Yeah.
What you talking about?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Was you a part of that too, Z?
Yeah, exactly. With me today.
We might have to roll that footage back.
I don't know what you're talking about. I deleted everything.
What'd you say? No face, no case? We got to pull that footage back. So what
we want to talk about it.
Let's talk about it, Meech.
Cool when you do it.
It's a problem when I do it.
So what you hear? Man, I was getting phone calls
that Meech was up here just talking about how he was going to let me have it when it comes to this conversation about relationships.
I mean, if you want to get into it,
you know what I mean? I just want to address the elephant in the room.
Y'all been having some stuff going on all week,
Y'all?
Yeah.
Who is y'all?
No, you and your friends.
Yeah, speaking of, where is she? Crazy how she disappeared when she was
supposed... I wasn't going to say nothing until she got here, because that way you had all your ammo, army with you.
That's why I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
like,
I want to bring it up.
I'm a beast. I can take out multiple people. I can hold my own.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm ready for whatever.
We're just going to wait, though.
Wait on CC. Yeah. CC, they said you left me hanging, man. They said you left me hanging. Again, we have some special guests in the building today at 5 p.m. Miss Ashelle White is going to be joining us at 6 p.m. We're going to have a live stream with NFL player Eric Murray. Speaking of Ashelle and the work that she does, let's talk marketing and branding, Meech.
Yeah, we can.
That's your lane for sure.
Yeah, me and Ashelle, we've traded notes. And everything that got to do with, like, music publishing stuff behind the scenes, you know?
It's like,
I thought I was, like, the only person researching that, then I met Ashelle.
She is one of the few women in the industry who's from Milwaukee and still in Milwaukee who is very valuable and has an extreme amount of information. So, again, I'm excited to you know, pick her brain a little bit. I actually just got here from a video shoot with Deuce Torianji, who was up here a couple weeks ago. And we was having conversations about branding and what you are attached to as a brand. Meech, as someone who has an agency, how important is marketing and branding when it comes to not just artists, but athletes as well?
Very important. Pretty much the number one thing besides actually creating the product is how you gonna market the product.
Yeah.
So mostly all resources and mostly all funds in the budget pretty much go to marketing when we deal with stuff. So, because that allows us to really control like the audience that we're trying to get a hold to, depending on the product. It also aligns us with like messaging and stuff to where you could kind of brand stuff in a way, you know, people, promotions, marketing, branding, all fall in the same lane. So marketing to me is like the number one thing that to focus on. You can line everything else up, but Facts. If you ain't marketing it, if you ain't pushing it, or you got the right message behind it, it really ain't gonna go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So do you think that, and I kind of feel like I know the answer already, but I want to get your take because you are fully in it, mm-hmm. as where I've removed myself from it to a certain degree. Do you feel like record labels are still developing artists?
No. I mean, they'll tell you they not. I mean, you kind of forget which labels is out here, which artist is signed to which label. You know, Facts. That's not part of, you know, who they signed to is not part of the marketing.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Some of the stuff that you see artists promote or you artists you see that pop, they either come off of social media or they marketing from within their own brand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think that I've noticed that there isn't development in artists anymore either. I personally like the industry better when labels actually develop the artists because it enhanced the individuality. To me, the artists who do not go through proper artist development ends up looking and sounding the same, mimicking whatever is out there. One of the things that I love a couple of weeks ago when we interviewed 414 Jungle Baby was her outlook and her being receptive in these artist development boot camps, because a lot of younger artists most don't even know what artist development mm-hmm. is. But I just think that it, with them removing it from the labels, it takes away the personality, like, of that artist being authentically themselves.
Yeah, but it ended up being like the labels babysitting, you know. Artists getting in trouble, or the artists seemingly not knowing how to handle the budget. You yeah. know what I mean? So, you know, it's a lot of money being wasted.
Yeah.
In a sense, from the label side of things. So, I mean, now as an artist with social media, kind of went hand in hand. That labels losing money from giving people the budget.
Yeah.
And artists pretty much coming up without a budget through social media or being viral. You know what I mean? So it's like, why is we wasting the money mm-hmm. if they already developing their sales in a sense?
Yeah.
But now, after so long of doing that, now you're seeing like the quality of music ain't there.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or the music that should be getting heard mm-hmm. ain't in your face as much.
Facts. That's a fact. So if the record labels are no longer offering or conducting artist development, who would you say today is responsible for artist development? Is it just the artists themselves?
It's the artists. I mean, it's the artists.
So how does an artist go through artist development if they don't know what artist development is? Like, how can you, as an artist, take yourself through artist development?
I mean, in a sense, you already is, if not, without even knowing that you kind of going through development, as far as like finding your own, how you finna put your music out, finding who gonna shoot your videos, finding mm-hmm. out, you know, just the information. All that is developing your mm-hmm. artistry. You know what I mean? At this point, you know, how you gonna put out content, where you putting out content at, what you calling and stuff, you know, your promotions and stuff like that. Like, how the consistency you is online, that's mm-hmm. the promotion, that's the development right there. Like, within all of that, and everything that artists get hit with on along their career, that should be, that's what they consider developing now.
Yeah. I appreciated back then the artist development piece and having a team of people around, because if a lot of artists are working independently or they have their homegirls and homeboys around with in the beginning, and there's no real structure. So whoever is around typically that they're taking care of is going to tell them yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that looks nice.
The yes man.
That sounds good.
I mean,
right?
Typically you want to, everybody wanted to develop a team around him like LeBron James. You know what I mean? All his friends and turned into businessmen and it helped him with his career. But in reality, that really don't go like that because everybody's not interested into the same thing.
They not. And I say that to say it can be, there's a fine line when it comes to artists doing artist development themselves if they don't have the necessary team around them to hold them accountable and tell them the truth. Because what they think might be look right, sound right, feel right may not be the case, you know? So any artist out there, especially the young artists, the younger generation, I genuinely encourage you, whether you're on a label or not, to, you know, figure out this artist development piece. Take an artist development boot camp. Find someone who can point you in the right direction so that it's almost like training. It's just like when you go to the NBA, when you first get drafted. You got to have training.
But some people will get drafted and be like, well, I'm good. I got drafted doing it the way I did it.
I'm okay with sitting on the bench.
Yeah, so and then artists, they get 100,000 views. Like, man, it's working. When I did work, I ain't got nobody around me.
Yeah.
I'm recording on my phone or whatever. To them, automatically, they think it's working. Whatever they thinking, they think it's working because it worked already. You reached the goal.
And the crazy thing is, I remember when Myron was on here and he was saying, you asked him what was the difference between content creation and stand-up. And he was saying, one of them you can't undo is lie. Yeah, you know? So that's what I mean with these artists when they on social media and they posting stuff, that's not the stage. That's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not.
Yeah, you can't stop, press record, do it over. Exactly. You know, everybody, you know, get that little buffer where you could kind of do it over.
Exactly. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz. Jazzy and Meech tapped in. 101.7 The Truth. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz, Tyler, Digi, Meech. We are live and direct. Yo, CeCe in the building. Now what, Meech and Z?
Oh,
what we doing?
Man.
Yeah. What we doing?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah, CeCe, they tried to gang up on me, CeCe. Oh, no. Backup came. What's the word, Meech? We got some special guests coming in the building today, 5 p.m. We got our girl, Michelle White, 6 p.m. We got NFL player Eric Murray, who will be live and joining us. We are talking branding and marketing, artist development. Out of the artist development piece, Meech, what would you say is the most important thing for artists to learn?
Patience.
Facts. Patience. I second that.
I mean, because everything in the music business is kind of slow. You know what I mean? Yeah. It can seem fast-paced when you're putting out music.
Yeah.
You could kind of go at your own pace. You could put it out. You could do this, you could do that. But the patience, you need patience to kind of, you know, let the numbers grow. Let the fans come.
Yes.
You know, let your ideas come.
Yep.
You know, Absolutely. Let people work on your stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you got people doing stuff for you, helping you create.
When it aligns, it flows.
Let them
better.
Finish it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You call and act 2 days later, man, you done with it? Like,
yeah,
look,
that used to be me. I want my stuff now before I leave the studio.
I'm really, you haven't even looked at your stuff.
So I can hear it in a car. Yeah. Give me a minute. I agree. I think patience and dedication for sure. But I would say what separates a good artist from a great artist is stage performance. You know, when you go to concerts, you have some artists who stand still in one spot. They don't move and it's not very entertaining. You know, a great artist, they're able to entertain, not just with, like, to me, one of the best artists ever to, as performance wise, is Chris Brown.
Also, they don't rap or sing over their lyrics.
That part. You may have
only
to
the
hear
hook.
An ad-lib.
Only the hook.
And ad-libs.
And ad-libs.
Yes. Yep. So, a lot of, and it's crazy because, shout out DJ Tony Neal. Tony Neal was actually the person when I was younger who stopped my show, literally. Like, I was at the Onyx performing, and he stopped it and was like, rap this a cappella, because he could not stand the fact that I was rapping over the lyrics. And I was so mad, and I was heated. I didn't understand it until I seen the recording back. Like, that makes sense. You should never rap over the full track unless it's something old, you know what I'm saying? And but even
or
then
new.
Or new, yeah, it just don't, it doesn't sound right.
Actually, I got a reason why you could.
I bet you do, Misha.
it comes to a place where you can, And sometimes you should depend on the artist because it's like sometimes they're performing songs they don't know as well.
Yeah.
Or sometimes the equipment at the venue you're performing at is not
as good as the good quality.
So I say at the end of the day,
that makes sense.
Because everybody be trying to perform.
Yeah.
To where it's like, look, at the end of the day, you want people to hear you.
Yeah.
So if it's you on the mic or the song on the speakers, you got to choose one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And depending on the performance, it's like, sometimes I'll be like, man, look, you let it play. Let the song play. Like, when you trying to rap, you know, because sometimes the artists don't get performance versions of their songs. So they don't have time to really make that decision. And I got a show, I got to perform tomorrow. You know, especially on the local level, they don't really make them decisions.
That's
part
of arts development.
But
we used to have
show
business.
Yeah, that's what she's trying to tell them. You need to do this stuff.
Yeah,
you
I know. But they don't really do that. Especially because it's a fast moving environment, as far as like, okay, I'm performing. Let me put it out right now, or I'm going to go perform. They don't really think like the importance of some, you know, the performance of some people want to hear their voice.
Their voice, yeah. Yeah, and it's, I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of artists are trying to change the narrative or the blueprint of what's been happening. And it's not to say we can't do anything new, but again, it just goes back to what separates you from being a good artist to a great artist. And these are intricate pieces that's so important, and it dictates who's going to book you for tours, what size venue you're going to perform in. So to the artists who really want that bag, these are the little things that you have to do. We used to make show discs. You know what I'm saying? We could do 5 songs in 3 minutes if we put together a show disc and take one verse and a hook. You know what I mean? So again, it's just, it depends on them. But for me, I felt like I learned that early on. When Tony Neal did that, I started going to El Babalu. Shout out to DJ Craig McNeil.
Yeah.
Man, and at El Babalu, them open mics, like he said, take this time. I walk in there, it was like 2 people. And I'm like, man, I'm not about to do this open mic. And he was like, I don't care if it's one person. You get up there and do it, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself.
And it's
another rep.
Yes, it's a practice. So going to the open mics at El Babalu's, and I'm a 2-mile on her, I was most definitely one of the coldest female rapper performers. Like, stage-wise, the only other person who could keep up with me, to me, was
me.
Jade. was Jade. Like, Khadijah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, she had energy on stage, and it's no slight to any other females. Everybody got their own. But I know for a fact that I crushed it, but that's because I took that time to do the artist development, go to El Babalu's open mic, perform on those stages, properly learn how to hold a mic, properly learn what angle to say what word, how loud to, you know, everything, just learning the stage, how to interact with the crowd, keep them, you know, informed, included. So, again, artist development, I know that labels don't do it anymore, but to the artists, man, y'all gotta get a team around y'all to where y'all can, it's like boot camp. You have to be prepared for this industry, because it's so fast. It's such a fast pace. As quick as people are being discovered and coming out, as quick as they leave. And if that's your lane, you want to be one of those type of people, that's you. But for those who want to be, who want to build a legacy, you got to have artist development. Got to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an artist developer.
Facts. That's a fact.
I mean, that's the style, you know, that I bring. Like, that's my style. Yeah. Like, when it comes to artists, managing artists, I'm more of an artist developer, because I'm producing. I'm helping write the songs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm helping market. Stuff like that. So all that goes into the development of the artist.
So if you trying to get me to do a verse, right? You like, come on, Jeff.
I'm going to help you.
No, I write my own stuff.
I'm not
going
to let you just come over here and do anything.
You know,
I mean, yeah, you'll write it. But
how would you market me at this age versus how I used to be when I was Jazzy Blanco?
Oh, okay. So first off, we got to get in the studio.
Facts.
And see where you at right now. You know what I mean?
You think I'm rusty?
I ain't say you was rusty. We gotta see what you willing to.
Yeah,
what
it is.
We gotta see what you willing to make.
Got you.
You know
that
what
makes
I'm saying?
Sense.
What
okay.
you willing to make? You know what I mean? What you following it with the current audience? You know, the current industry. Like, what you following? Mm-hmm. And then you pretty much see how active is you on social media, or is you active? You know, then it becomes how much of a team you need at the moment you're trying to push it out. Then how much money you really want to invest in this, because you could do it as a hobby and you could just get it to the point where you just, like, you know, distributing your music.
Yeah.
You ain't got to promote it as much.
Yeah.
You could just distribute it.
Look at me. Like, I'm listening. Keep going, man. We might be on
Yeah, you can just distribute it, have it online. You know, you can have a page, have a fan page and stuff like that for people that do come across your music.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just show the activity on this page. And then that way, they, when they, if they do follow you, they want to see more, see what you're doing, you have stuff on that page to where it can show them, to where you can funnel the audience to your YouTube or something like that. You always have the active stuff that's available that you're doing. You ain't got to, you know, put millions of dollars into it to make it go number one.
Yeah.
You just got to have it. You know, when you come across somebody and say, I do music, or all your connections you got here, take people this. Yeah, take it, people
and
this.
And it's crazy because this would be the perfect time because of where I'm at, right? You would think I would do music now, all the people I know.
I mean, the thing right now I say to all artists, especially in Milwaukee, since it's like the market is thriving.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm helping build it, so I kind of know where it's at.
Yeah.
It's like this. You don't want to not have nothing.
Yeah.
At this point, like when people look back right now, everybody, you know, artists are thriving. They throwing money out here now.
Absolutely.
You feel me? So that's really number one. Like, they throwing money out here. So if you got some music, or if you create music, now is the time to just have it out there. You know,
they
what
ready,
mean?
So you ain't got to get ready.
Yeah.
That's a fact. How do you feel about artists? You know, so I've been in the studio, right? But I haven't recorded. I've just been making beats.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been going, you know, a lot of the students were, Wavy Boy then was in the studio. They came to Howard Fuller like, yeah, want to hear some jazz? And I'm like, man, I ain't made stuff in like 10 years.
I mean,
right?
I was in the same spot though. Like, I'm working on everybody's stuff and I haven't, I didn't do anything. I didn't have nothing.
Nope. Yeah.
Like, people think I got music. Let me hear some. I'm not active at all. I didn't have nothing for 10 years.
Nothing.
And then I just was like, just kind of took my own advice. Everything I'm telling everybody, like, look.
Let me do it.
You right now, I mean, for me, it was a little different because I'm behind the scenes. I'm building catalogs and stuff. So it's like, for the label I'm really currently running, and it's more so like a publishing administration. It's more so like all my avenue. I wanted all the avenues that I'm doing in music to be kind of open. So, I'm recording, I'm managing, I'm doing all that, and I'm making beats and everything.
Yeah.
Everything active except for my music.
I just play old stuff. I was like, this is all I got. And I didn't care because I'm not trying to do music, but they just wanted to hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think the most inspiring feeling in the world is when you are not active, your stuff is old, but it still feels timeless.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, this sounds like something from today. I was like, and I got to thinking, like, you know what? I might really got to call Meech. Do it for the one time.
Mm-hmm.
Just one time. That's it. I don't want a full-fledged career or none of that stuff.
I mean, I got into doing my music just because, like I said, everything active except for, like, okay. You kind of in that point was like, man, why everything popping? What's going to get me over the hump? You know what I mean? Like, could it be if maybe I need to put out some music or put it together. But at the same time, it's like I'm advocating for all these artists and, you know, at some point it'd be like, I can't always say yes because it's on the artist to say yes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or you waiting on a move, or you trying to put together a move. Some moves, I could just go straight through with the whole move because it's just me.
The difficult part for me is, as far as like, if I was to actively try and do music, is at this age, I'm not sure if I even like the industry. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. You don't. It's about just having something out here for your conversations and your resources. Because the best example for me, I thought, was to have something, or like you trying to push what you're trying to push.
Yeah.
Or clients to people like, oh yeah, this I could do whatever I do it all.
Yeah.
If you're trying to tell them or you're trying to see, you know, gain more clients, the best example is to have product. You know what I mean? So I could show them everybody else stuff. But that's not me. And like my ideas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's me working on somebody else's ideas. You can see what I could do.
Yeah.
But you don't see the full range of me really just like what I create.
But I would have to start over. rebranding, because I'm at this point, I'm not even known for music no more. The only ones who know is people that was, I've completely disassociated myself from being,
I mean, you
artist.
Already branding yourself as a producer that work at Olive Fuller. So,
yeah, that's a producer though.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's more so like that's how I was. Like, I don't want to seem like an artist. Right. So I just pretty much took the producer songwriter approach. So all my music is for sale.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? So everything you hear of mine is for sale. You could have it, or I could sell it as a catalog to a label.
Yeah.
And they could package it up and sell it to an artist. You know what I mean? Or yeah. I could sell songs. You know what I mean? Sync licenses and stuff like that. Not really push it out as, oh, this artist right here, or, you know what I mean, trying to put out videos or nothing like that. It's really for you to actually get to that point.
Yeah.
If you want to sell a song now, your best thing to do is to have it put out.
I don't want to rap, though, Meech. I want to sing.
I mean, but you could just write.
I don't want to write. I want to sing.
But you could sing a reference song.
Yeah. I don't even know
how
to sing.
You can put a whole song together. And just like, all my songs is references of what you can have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how I promote it. You know what I mean? People, you know, I still put promotions and graphics and stuff, you know, assets behind my music. But, you know, I push it as, this what you can have. You want this style? You want me to make your music? This what it could sound like.
Got you. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. Jazzy and Meech, tap in. 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7, The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, Digi Meech. We are live in direct Milwaukee. Happy Friday, man. It's beautiful outside. It is beautiful.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's time to get to it, Meech. Ready for the weekend. Ready for an amazing weekend. Speaking of an amazing weekend, Educators Credit Union celebrate freedom, culture, and community at Milwaukee Juneteenth celebration with 101.7 The Truth. We are proud to partner with Educators Credit Union, helping families achieve financial success while investing in our community. Join us on Juneteenth as we honor our past and empower the future. Presented by Educators Credit Union and 101.7 The Truth. Shout out to the entire team over there who's over Juneteenth, as well as Autowomic Cox. Every year it's an amazing event. I've been a part of the parade since I was a kid, waking up, headed to 11th and Atkinson to participate. So y'all come on out and join us. We want to meet you all. We want you all to meet the new staff at 101.7 The Truth. We are talking today, Meech, we're talking marketing, branding, artist development as it pertains to not just artists, but just the industry, athletes, everything.
Yeah.
And Meech been kind of on me about, you know, dabbling back into music a little bit.
Yeah, tell them why you don't, though.
I'll start with why I stopped versus why I don't now.
Not why you stop, but why?
Why I don't?
Don't.
I don't now because I'm not attracted to the industry anymore. You know, growing up, that was a different time for us. The industry was different. It made you want to be a part of it. Right now, I don't know if there's enough consumers who truly appreciate true, authentic rap, because I was never the female rapper who woke up one day like, I just want to rap. I just know I'm really good at it. I really know how to do it. I really can spit real bars, all of the above. And then also the lifestyle. You know, I'm not into clubbing and partying and, you know, certain things. I have two adult children and a 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. So what they think of me is important, and how they view me is important, and my legacy is important. And I haven't even gone into the thought process of what it would look like to rebrand myself to make it feel comfortable if I was to start back doing. Plus, I'm old. I had my time. It's time for the younger generation. I did my thing.
I mean, age ain't nothing but a number.
Yeah, everybody.
Especially when it
comes
to music now, just because it's streaming. So, I mean, like, being old, you should take advantage of what's going on right now. You know what I mean?
That?
Because you get a couple of dollars. You know, put your music out, get a couple of dollars. You know what I mean? it still take the energy. See, and that's the thing that kind of helped me. Even now I start making some more music. Mm-hmm. It's like it take too much energy
to
push it.
It do.
Like, it just take, you gotta be hey yo, go check out my music. That take energy to be excited about your music. You know
it
what
do.
I mean? Like every day constantly excited about your music. You kinda need the time too.
And I kinda have like this love hate relationship with music. Like I feel like I've given it more than it has.
And it
ever
ain't gave
given
you nothing.
Back. You know what I'm saying? Like at 20, when I was younger, it was like, oh my gosh, I get to, you know, rap with this person or open up for this person or work with this person, da, 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 da. But at 38, it's like, so working with this person, that don't mean nothing if it don't equate money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Back then, it's different because you're grinding. So any opportunity is going to boost you. But at this age, I just, you know, again, like you said, I have to have the energy to do mm-hmm. it. And I don't want it to feel forced. Me personally, I just, and then too, relationships. It's hard being a woman in a relationship while doing music as well. And the industry is full of sharks. I'm not sure if I want to indulge with people that I don't know if I could trust. It's a lot mentally.
Yeah. I mean, that aspect of, you know, the culture of vultures.
That part. That
people
part.
People that's always trying to get some money out of the music industry.
Yes.
I mean, it costs, you know, because I charge for certain services. Mm-hmm. Pretty much all the services cost, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because when you actually giving services, there's no back end on that. Like,
facts.
You know, as a marketer, you're not embedded into the royalties.
That's,
you know what
fact.
I mean? So, and that's the part that, or the information that a lot of artists here in Milwaukee really don't get, because they don't know that you're supposed to be paying your manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Are you either paying your manager up front or you paying your manager on the back end?
Right.
You know what I mean? And all these finances and all these funds and all these bills got to get added up.
They sure do.
And they still got to get paid.
And it's like, why not? I've never been the artist when I was active to not want to make sure my team, management, and production, because there's a lot of not paying the producers going around too, or the writers. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's like, and that's, again, that part is skeptical too. Not even from an artist stance, but me writing music, me producing music. It's like, what does this look like if I send it out? Somebody going to steal my stuff? Like, example, when I was with, shout out MJC2 and Wavy Boy, shout out to Meech for making that connection. When I told them, like, all right, they was like, come to the studio. I was like, all right. I ain't been to the studio in a long time. It's like, it was so funny, Meech. I was like, I got some beats.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw like a producer, like, y'all want to hear my beats? And I was like, yeah. Man, I played it. And I was like, Wavy Boy was like, oh, come sit right here.
It's
like,
fire.
You sit next to the engineer, right? All right, take this, take this, take this. Now take what she just did and add this, add that. Okay. Run it back. All right, add this. Then go to the next person, E2. E2 come and write and do his thing. And by the time I get the song, it's like a masterpiece. Mm. But the most important thing is the way that they treated me in the process and how they just like built around me. They allowed me to still keep the core of what I created without taking it my moment away from me. And I appreciate that, because a lot of people don't do that. That's what makes me frightened about getting back in the industry. Even not, again, not as an artist, but a producer. Is like, I'm not a producer. I'm learning how to make beats. And I just so happen to be good at it. But mm-hmm. the fact that they were like, no, we ain't going. They could have easily just took my idea and be like, we ain't giving her nothing. We ain't even got to build off it. We could just do our own thing. But they did the opposite. And that doesn't happen often. You know what I'm saying? So that experience was very inspirational.
Yeah.
And it kind of overpowered my fear of wanting to do it again. But listen, TTO, I'm
You're
not.
Almost there.
I ain't got
Truth
it in me.
Truth Nation, we almost there.
I ain't got it in me. Listen, I ain't got it in me. But keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. You never know what can happen. Talent versus work ethic, which matters more?
You need some talent, but You need some talent.
It's a lot of whack hard workers out there.
I mean, I don't work myself into talent. I mean, I don't think I had any talent when I started music. I couldn't play no instruments. I still can't read or write music. You know what I mean? But
really,
I could. It's just I could make natural. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the work I put in, kind of learning.
Yeah.
At least what my process is to create what I'm trying to create.
Yeah. But so, you know what, Meech? When me and Meech work together. Me and Misha been on a road together. Me, you, Dree, Shakes to the A. We done made music together 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I done made music with everybody, too. It's crazy. That's crazy.
The crazy thing about it is the music that we, this song in particular featuring Mac and Moore. Shout out Mac and Moore.
I don't remember it.
Down the Hustle?
I don't remember.
I was on Instagram one day about 2 months ago. And I was going through music trying to post my story for this picture, and I seen it. And I was like, who put this on the internet, right? Because my kids, yeah. I was like, how is this out here? But when I started listening to it, I realized we were so far ahead. Like, that was the blueprint of the sound that you created right now, Meech.
Mm-hmm.
That was literally the beginning stages of the sound that's here now.
Yeah.
And it was a great feeling because it's like, it's not anything that unless you was around, you would know. You know what I mean? But to see that whether it's me, Mac, you, whoever, still kept going and everybody doing their own thing in their own lanes. And what we started back then is flourishing is super dope to me, man. And I love that song.
Yeah, I think I forced it, though. I've been forcing it since then. I mean, just kind of just pushing, trying to push this Milwaukee music to the man. I mean, like,
as you
I feel
should.
Like it was worth $1 billion. That's what I
as
thought.
As you should. No, for real. As you should.
Nah, at least got a couple dollars into it right now, but I thought Milwaukee music was worth $1 billion. That's what caused me to, like, stick around and work it.
I always felt like you had to have both the talent and the work ethic. I never, ever big myself up, but when it comes to this music stuff, I got to because I grinded my butt off. Like, you can... There is artists who are talented and has no work ethic. Then there's artists who have work ethic, but their songs is trash, but they still end up making it because of the work ethic. But to me, it's just neck and neck. You got to have both. If you're talented with no work ethic, it don't even matter. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to accomplish nothing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I stayed humble, stayed patient, just kept my head down, kept working.
I mean, I took risk and sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, it's been definitely like, the risk.
The risk was like...
I don't even want to talk about the risk.
Man, you know how much I done lost behind this music? Just taking risk, like, any given time. Not working a regular job or nothing for 2 years just to have the opportunity if I need to get up and get on the road, if I need to go to this state, if I need to be around this artist in this studio, whatever the case may be. But the sacrifice and the risk...
Mm-hmm.
It was worth it in the end. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. We got a special guest coming up at 5:00, Cashel White. And at 6:00, we have NFL player Eric Murray. Stay tuned. Jazz and Meech, tap in 101.7 The Truth.
Baby.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in 3rd Street Market Hall, downtown Milwaukee.
What's the word, Truth Nation?
What's the word? It's Friday. It's time to get to it. What are we talking today, Meech?
Publishing, royalties, distribution, you know, talent versus hard work, patience, music success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
Any success.
Any actually, success. Really?
You know, hard work, patience, that go together.
That's a fact. So, work ethic in this industry, I can't express to any artists or athletes how important work ethic is. And that includes discipline, that includes risk, that includes sacrifice, that includes being receptive to constructive criticism, mentorship, all of the above. I think for our generation, looking at the artists now, I think we've done a great job when it comes to showing how to really get out there and grind. And obviously, our grind was different because we had to grind face-to-face, handing out CDs versus sitting on, you know, the stream. But I do see specifically the generation in Milwaukee of artists, their grind is unmatched. Like their work ethic, how often they stay in the studio. You know what I'm saying? And then the people they have around them who encourage them to stay in the studio consistently as well. And then making sure that they team up with a U or a KB or different people to help push their music. Their work ethic is top tier. It's top tier. And I think that's why we're finally in a position to where we can be looked at or taken seriously in the industry overall.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the example. I mean, you could just say like the expectations of athletes in these leagues has caused us to kind of raise different type of athletes, and you know, than in the past.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, by you seeing all the athletes get in trouble and them kind of like mess up their careers or whatever, it caused people to like expect more from the athlete or raise the bar for the expectations. And at least and change the rules.
Yep. That's a fact.
In these leagues to what's expected for athletes. And now, you know, athletes are surprised you by how the way they talk. You know what I mean? At first, they couldn't answer questions. Now, the expectation for that has been there for so long for, like, interviews, post-game interviews and stuff like that to where athletes, we have trained athletes and raised the bar for athletes to meet that expectation.
It's crazy. We were just talking about this. On the athletic side, to your point, there was a time where a lot of players in the 90s and early 2000s got pushed, you know, through to the correct grade, even though they were illiterate, didn't understand it because they were the golden ticket, right? Now you
That's
have
still going on, by the way.
It is,
and not
but,
even because they're the golden ticket; they're just passing them because they got to pass them.
But what's also happening is reclassing. There's athletes who are reclassing twice. Like, there was a point in time where no kid wanted to stay behind. That's embarrassing for me to flunk a grade. Not because, and then on top of that, not because I'm illiterate or because I don't understand, but because I want to make it in sports.
Yeah.
And the NBA, the NFL, all of these different organizations aren't saying anything. They don't care. It's like, how I don't understand how that's cool. I don't understand how that's easy when it comes to marketing either. I would think that's a marketing nightmare.
It is.
It doesn't seem that way, though. It seems like no one is addressing it, and it's just like.
I mean, sports kind of do a good job of putting information to keep you drawn in.
Mm-hmm.
But keep the information away so you won't know how it's done. Like, you know, we'll know everything about how much he getting paid, but don't know how
that part.
You know, we don't know how much taxes the athlete pays, you know, by playing in these states, working in these states, you know, working in different cities.
Yep. That's a fact.
So.
That's a fact. I just think that all of these things, there's so much that goes into marketing a brand, right? And not just your career, but your personal life too. Like, your brand is how you get paid.
Like a regular mom and pop store, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. Your brand is how you get paid. You know, people buy into what you're selling, and what you're selling is yourself. And if your brand is tainted or doesn't align with certain things, it's going to be difficult to make money. It's going to be difficult. Not saying you don't have to be yourself, but you just have to be careful about what you do when you make decisions. Do I really want to do a song with this artist at this time? Let me research and see what they got going on.
Yeah.
Are they under fire? Are they getting canceled? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many different elements that plays a part in collaboration, whether it's with another artist, another athlete, a brand who wants to endorse you, anything like that. You have to thoroughly research their brand and make sure it aligns with yours, because who and what you align with can affect your entire career.
Yeah, and for everybody to want to police the music industry and stuff like that, you know, as far as like what's being made, what's getting pushed out, what's the message and stuff like that, music don't have like a league or a union.
Facts.
You know what I mean? It don't have a set of rules to follow, a way in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It used to be a way in, a way to get in, but it's not a way in, you know. It's based off relationships. It could be based off of, you know, your own drive. It could be based off of the success of a record. You know, it could be based off your name popping somewhere else.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it don't have a way in, you know what I mean? And until we kind of, like, develop that. And in Milwaukee, we could kind of do that. You know what I mean? Kind of create, like, not saying a society, but more mm-hmm. so, like, you know, a conglomerate of everybody that's like, okay,
yeah,
these are the people. These are the things you got to do. You got to pretty much go through this process
mm-hmm.
to be considered
yeah.
a Milwaukee artist.
Yes. You know what I mean? That part. And I think that helps, too. It helps a lot. I think we kind of did that back in the day a little bit, but we was a little bit more free with it.
Yeah, I feel like we all be in the same boat.
Yeah.
I mean, you put all the videographers, you take all the videographers, all the rappers, all the R&B artists, all the artists.
Yeah.
All the people on the executive side or the business side of it, and it don't even matter, like, the guy from in the basement could be right there with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could be putting all this work in Milwaukee and everybody's in the same boat. Everybody got to do the same thing. You know what I mean? It's not a separation between the higher class artists versus the lower class artists. I don't think Facts. It should be that much of a gap or that much of a distinction. Like, oh, you ain't doing it that much, but it still has to be what's the hierarchy of music around here versus if you're not on that level.
Yep. And it has to be,
or if you ain't putting that
told word. The truth. Like, everybody can't make it. It's just like the draft. You know what I'm saying? There's so many basketball players, football players, but only a few get selected to the NBA draft or the NFL draft.
Yeah, they understand that analogy. You know what I mean? As far as, like, being part of the draft, or you didn't get drafted, so you're not in the league.
Yeah.
But they feel like, you know, I'm making music in my bedroom, so I'm in the music industry.
Mm-mm.
And that ain't really how I go.
No, it's not. It's not. And but see, again, to me, that is the microwave culture, including social media, that makes everybody feel like they can do it. I can do that. All I gotta do is, what is that called, Serato?
Yeah,
go to Splice. Go to Splice. Upload some, you know,
FL
samples.
Studios.
Get FL Studios with Splice. Then take that over or and do something on Band Lab.
Go to AIs, tell them, make me a whole song.
Exactly.
Talking about Suno.
Right. So it's becoming to where anybody think that they have what it takes in order to be a part of the music industry. Knowing that, first and foremost, making music is not what makes you a part of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
You're just an artist. To be a part of the actual music industry, it takes more than just making records. It's numbers, it's billboard charts, it's relationships, it's building, it's marketing, it's branding, it's management, it's all of the above.
Understanding what level of the other industry that you own.
What exactly.
You'll know if you in the industry.
You will, most definitely will. We got to go to break to pay some bills. We got Shell White coming up next. Do not touch that dial, 101.7 The Truth.